Well, hello, friends. Mark DiMatteo coming at you with a brand new message going out to our Great Questions group on this sixth day of May 2014. This is actually message number 35. The title is Why the Daydream is Possible, and I look forward to bringing it to you. Trust everybody's doing well as you're getting this. But before we get rolling, let me just touch on a few quick important items. Number one, the Great Questions group has just celebrated its third birthday on May 1st. How about that? Hard to believe that it's been 3 years already. And folks, though this outreach has impacted a lot of people up to date, we've covered quite a bit of information. What's exciting is we're just getting started. And it's going to be exciting to see where we are by the time the next 3 years have gone by. So anyway, I'm excited about that. Okay, number two, I want to say welcome to the new folks that I've connected with since my last audio, as my Great Questions group email list is now almost at 850 folks, okay? So that's pretty cool too. We keep growing. Number three, a few of our folks, newer folks, have asked me recently if it was okay to share these audios with others, and so I thought I'd remind everyone that you are welcome to share them with anyone you might think will benefit from them, okay? Next, here's my little low-key fundraising appeal. And of course, if you've been touched and encouraged by the Great Questions group, especially if you've been a part of it for a while, please help it continue to go and grow through your financial support. And one of the things, folks, that I've learned through my life coaching activities was that it was always good to give people something specific to aim at. And therefore, I have a simple and modest suggestion for you good people. Would you consider just a quarterly donation of $25? Now, I know many of you can do more than that, and that's great, but even just $25 once every 3 months, folks, would be a big help in aiding the work of this unique outreach. And might I also suggest the months of June, September, December, and March as the 4 months? And as a reminder, if you bank online, probably the easiest way to make a donation right now is through your online bill pay service. And the address, of course, for our nonprofit, Mark of Matthew Inc., is at the bottom of this email and also on my website, markdematteo.com. And thanks. Finally, as an important reminder, these messages are a chronologically ordered series, and as such, they build upon each other. The earlier audios create foundation and bring context and clarity to those that follow. Therefore, if you've not already heard them, please consider doing so, as your Great Questions journey with us will be far more pleasurable and profitable to you if you do. And they are also all posted on my website, which is spelled markdematteo.com. Okay? Well, all right, let's get rolling, because as I said, I'm really excited about getting into this information with you folks. This is some pretty awesome stuff, and some of the rewards I was beginning to reap from my studies in the Great Questions journey. And friends, as I've shared with you in previous messages, one of the primary motivating factors that started me on this entire Great Questions quest was this compelling concept of a potentially far greater future reality, what we might call a heaven, if you will. I was taught this idea in my early years, and must say that I was immediately drawn to it and the comfort and hope it fosters. In fact, I think it is safe to say that virtually everyone has probably at least thought of the general concept of a better after-death reality. And I would venture further that for the majority of those who have, they have at least been intrigued by the idea, whether they believe in its actual possibility or not. Furthermore, it is interesting to note that, with only rare exceptions, we all have been given an inherent mental capacity to imagine such transcendent realities, even if we've never been actually taught them, and we considered the significance of this fact in our message on the four levels of imagination back a little while ago. However, while most of us have probably contemplated some form of this future supernatural concept, contemplating it and really believing in its potential reality are two different things, aren't they? I mean, it sure would be nice if there really were some kind of a future paradise or heaven, but as we've also discussed in prior messages, just believing in something sincerely does not necessarily make it so. Therefore, what I was looking for through my studies on this quest was any kind of solid scientific evidence which might point to the possibility and maybe even the probability that some kind of a heaven could exist. So I shared with you how I built what I called an, quote, examination framework out of a group of simple scientific laws and principles, which I could then use to help me accurately look at what was really going on in the world around us. There are essentially just five, and though we have already discussed each of them at length, as a quick review, here they are again. Number one, the law of cause and effect. Every effect must have an adequate cause, and that cause must be prior to and greater than the effect produced. Number two, the first law of thermodynamics, which is also called the law of conservation. Number three, the second law of thermodynamics, which is also called the law of decay. Number four, the four P factors required to overcome the second law, which are plans, power, parts, and a process. Number five, the law of information. The fact that information ultimately comes only from a mind. So with this framework in hand then, I decided that I would start my investigation by taking a basic look at the three fundamental components of the universe, space, mass, and time, right? We talked about this. And for all four, folks, all three of them must be accounted for in any honest pursuit of finding answers to the origin of the cosmos, which in turn, of course, is a vital primary aspect of finding accurate answers to great questions number one, which is, where did I come from? Of these three, I chose the mass, or we could say the matter component to begin with, as it seemed to be the most tangible of the three, and so commenced my little odyssey into the amazing realm of the tiny atom. And as I've shared in a number of my prior audios, what I learned from the reality of this amazing little entity in light of this framework and the conclusions the empirical evidence clearly pointed to were both astounding and compelling. So summarizing them briefly here once again for review, there must indeed be a mind, a someone of a vast magnitude of order with access to and intricate control over virtually limitless power in order to be capable of not only designing the atoms in the first place, but then of creating their parts, then assembling and energizing them, and finally of being capable of continuously sustaining each of them on the immense scale now displayed throughout all the known universe. And friends, a someone of this incomparable magnitude of capability, we can rationally and reasonably call God, right? I mean, there's really no one else that can meet those qualifications. And that is why I referred to the atom as the, quote, God particle. For in light of these laws, it is the only rationally sound scientific explanation for the adequate cause behind the origin and continued existence of the atom. And friends, if there truly is a mind behind the matter, or a someone, or a God, who is literally controlling every atom of the cosmos, then truly, what couldn't this someone do? Or said another way, what could they do? Fact is, folks, all kinds of exciting possibilities open up. That is why we went on our hypothetical little daydream together, to explore what it might be like if this someone decided to ramp up the operational power on our planet even just slightly. And as we did so through our last two messages, I think you'd agree that it was certainly a stimulating prospect to consider, right? I mean, it's pretty awesome to think about. However, folks, as I began to paint this picture of an enhanced, altered reality, perhaps you noticed that I made an abrupt change as to the cause behind it. For instead of referring to the someone, I instead conjured up an imaginary friendly field as the source of the change. And you might be thinking, well, yes, Mark, actually I did notice. But why did you? Why did you use the field instead of the someone? And to that I would reply, well, good on you for noticing and good question. And I'm glad you asked. The reason was, folks, I wanted to re-emphasize a vital point, one that I had to constantly remind myself of as I pursued these studies, as it was foundational to finding valid answers to the great questions, and here it is. The importance of always trying to do our level best to differentiate between what is real and what is only imaginary through the use of our examination framework. Prior to this, I had been trained, for the most part, to simply accept what, quote, educated people were telling me at face value, without really checking it out myself to see whether or not their information was actually sound. But now, for the first time, I had this simple but powerful tool at my disposal, through which I could critically analyze ideas and concepts objectively to determine which were valid and which were not. However, a tool is of no benefit if we fail to utilize it, right? So I had to train myself to consistently apply it, as this was not something I was used to doing when I began my studies. And since it took me a little while to get this new habit ingrained in my head, I figured it is probably not a bad idea to remind you fine folks of it occasionally as well. Furthermore, the more we hear the framework, the better we understand it, and the easier it is to apply. So, as we wrapped up our last message, I asked you all a few questions in light of what we have learned thus far. Question number one. Why could a friendly field, like the one I described, not spontaneously come into existence all by itself? Well, going back to our framework, what do we now know? First, because all by itself, it would have no adequate cause to bring it into existence. There would be no outside means to provide the integrated application of the 4P factors required to create the ordered structure of a field like this, right? So with no plans, no power, no parts, and no process, the universal downward trend of the second law would prevent it from ever happening in the first place. So while it might be fun to pretend a field like this could spontaneously happen, without an adequate cause to apply the 4Ps, that's all it is, pretending. Question number two. And yet, why is something like this field still a valid possibility? Because what we have found, friends, is that there is indeed a cause who is adequate enough to create a field such as this. For since this someone is and must be behind, or excuse me, for since this someone is the cause behind the atom, in other words, must be the cause behind the atom, then it is quite reasonable to assume that this same someone certainly would have the capability to easily provide each of the four components, the P components, necessary to create a field like this, along with all its enhancing effects we talked about. For being a little bit facetious here, but with a total element of truth, for compared to creating and sustaining all the atoms of the cosmos, a field like this would be simple, small-time stuff indeed, right? Now, knowing that this someone could does not necessarily mean this someone would. It just makes the possibility real and exciting to think about. And furthermore, it is interesting to note that if this someone did at some point decide to enhance this present reality. I'm sorry, I'm getting a little tongue-tied here. Let me read that again. And furthermore, it is interesting to note that if this someone did at some point decide to enhance this present reality, there we go, okay? A field like the one we've been talking about would not even be necessary. for they would certainly be capable of simply just modifying the way power is presently regulated on our planet directly to create an enhanced reality like the one we've described. In fact, they could make the same adjustments over the entire cosmos if they so desired. And isn't that amazing to think about? Now, as I alluded to, at this point in my journey, I had no idea if this someone ever would actually enhance this current reality. But just knowing that there was someone there who was able and perhaps might was an extraordinary reality to consider. So, in summary then, thus far, my quest had led me to two simple yet significant conclusions. And here they are. Number one, there has to be a God. Number two, therefore, some type of a heaven is a real possibility. And these findings, folks, obviously held profound and exciting implications in regard to my finding valid answers to the great questions. Implications which I was looking forward to exploring as my journey continued, and actually sharing with you all as well. So, now in our upcoming messages, we are going to take a brief look at the two remaining fundamental components of the cosmos, which are space and time, and see what they might be telling us, especially in light of what we have already learned. So until then, friends, stay tuned and have a wonder-filled day. Marcus D. signing off till next time.